Inside World of Health with Kerry Nosler. Brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here's Kerry Nosler.
Yes, indeed. Kerry Nosler here with you for the second hour of the Wide World of Health. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got some great information for those of you who are suffering from diabetes. Those of you who are suffering from diabetes might be pre-diabetic, whether you're also type 1 or type 2. There are things that you can do to dramatically improve your quality of life that do not necessarily involve just taking new drugs. This is not about some new breakthrough in prescription drug therapy, as beneficial as that may be in whatever case that the physician finds appropriate. No, we're talking about lifestyle changes that you can take, because in reality, lifestyle is what's gotten you into the particular situation you're in, that you find yourself experiencing. And lifestyle is what is going to help you to change the particular outcome of whatever you're experiencing. In fact, the Lifestyle Center of America is an organization that we're going to be highlighting. During the last decade, they have emerged as the center in the country for a proven, effective program, and some folks use the word miracle program for preventing, stopping, and even reversing the effects of diabetes. The book, The 30-Day Diabetes Miracle, written by Franklin House, Stuart Seal, and Ian Blake Newman, is the subject of our discussion today, and we have two of the co-authors of the book who are going to be joining us. Dr. Stuart Seal formerly served as lifestyle educator and medical clinical director at the Lifestyle Center of America, currently provides medical supervision and health education for patients who attend the LCA Diabetes Wellness Program in Sedona, Arizona. And Ian Blake Newman is a journalist and business writer, assistant professor of journalism at State University of New York, Rockland. First came to the Lifestyle Center of America in 2005, actually came as a type 1 diabetic patient. He was looking for a miracle. Not only did he find it, but now is helping to spread the message as well that there is a program, there is a proven way that you can help prevent diabetes or help prevent the symptoms, the particular types of problems that are associated with people who do have diabetes. So we'll find out just exactly what's going on in that regard. Dr. Seal, again, one of our guests. Doctor, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kerry.
Pleasure to have you. Ian, thank you for joining us as well.
Great to be here, Kerry. Thank you very much.
So the problem of diabetes, if we can just put it in perspective for both of you, it has emerged as probably, the central player in the whole healthcare debate, because as if we don't manage diabetes, the number of people who have it now and the number who are expected to have diabetes in the coming decades, obviously, for both of you, our healthcare system is going to have a very, very difficult time under present circumstances absorbing the healthcare costs associated with this particular disease.
Yes, Kerry, it's not just going to be the healthcare system, but it's going to be society as a whole is going to have difficulty absorbing this problem. We currently have this tidal wave of diabetes that we think is a tidal wave now, where one out of 15 Americans have diabetes, about 21 million Americans, 95% of that being type 2 diabetes. But the numbers are going to increase astronomically. It has been estimated by the Centers for Disease Control that one out of every three Caucasian children that you see today that are 8 years old, in other words, they were born in the year 2000, one out of three of those children are going to develop type 2 diabetes at some point in their lifetime. And one out of two African American, Native American, or Hispanic American children are going to develop type 2 diabetes. And so we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg as it is right now. This is a true disaster in the making.
It's interesting, too, that at one time the type 2 diabetes was called adult onset diabetes, but that certainly isn't the case today.
No, you can't really use that term anymore, because now in most states, including in California, the people coming down with type 2 diabetes are now 2 and 3 and 4 years old. And that's essentially totally unacceptable. Type 2 diabetes is a disease about choices. And children really don't get to make the choices themselves. They have to do with what adults are allowing them to do. But that number of 1 in 3 children born in the year 2000 will come down with diabetes, and in some demographics, 1 in 2, is totally unacceptable to us. It means that this tsunami that we now experience is going to literally rip families apart. It'll have an awful effect on our economy. In fact, it's estimated that sometime within the next 25 years, the cost of chronic health care will actually overcome or eclipse the gross national product, which is all the money that together we earn. So we've got to make some kind of a different decision. Somebody's not minding the store very well when a disease of choice is really taking over our culture. So our message is that not one more person in this country needs to get type 2 diabetes. And among people who do have type 2 diabetes, not one more person needs to get any consequences of that disease. If we make different choices, we'll get different consequences, Gary.
Now, Ian, you're a type 1 diabetic, and that's characterized as more of a genetic genetic predisposition that expresses itself. So, but you're still saying, but obviously in your case, the lifestyle modifications greatly helped you overcome what was a genetic predisposition.
Oh, absolutely, Carrie. This program saved my life, and I think it can save the lives of your listeners as well. So this program works for type 1 and type 2. And the reason for that is because it attacks the cause of diabetes, which is insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is involved in both type 1, controlling type 1 diabetes, and also in type 2 diabetes. You know, there might be a genetic predisposition to type 2 diabetes, but really genetics only loads the gun, but lifestyle decisions, habits kind of pull that trigger. When it comes to type 1 diabetes, the kind that I have, it's more likely an autoimmune disorder. So that means the body attacks its own cells. It winds up killing the cells in the pancreas, the organ behind our stomach. Those cells produce insulin, which is a hormone necessary to get food energy into cells. When those cells die off because the body attacks them, the body no longer produces insulin. And so I'll need to take insulin for the rest of my life as a type 1. But the key is to not build up a resistance or too much of a tolerance to that insulin. So this works for both type 1s and type 2s because that resistance at the cellular level to insulin is the reason for type 2 diabetes. And in my case with type 1, it would be the reason for me to get some major complications. So this program will work for both, and we can talk a little bit about insulin resistance as we go along because it's such a key part of our plan.
Sure. Well, Dr. Seale, tell me again about the Lifestyle Center of America.
Lifestyle Center of America has been treating chronic disease patients for the last 12 years now. We've treated thousands of people. Diabetes really has become our focus because the diabetes segment of the population has exploded so dramatically during this last decade that we found more and more of our patients were suffering from this disorder. And many of them have other things that go along with their diabetes, such as heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. Certainly obesity is very, very common among them also. But it's been this diabetes segment that we really have been focusing in on. We've been primarily doing what we call residential treatment of these individuals over this last 12 years, where they come and they stay with us for a period of time, and we give them intensive lifestyle education, we give them medical supervision, and we also include behavioral therapy so that their decision-making process and the way that they think about their disease and the way they view food and physical activity, etc., can be totally reversed and totally changed for the good. As I said, we've treated thousands of patients in this manner over the last 12 years, primarily at our Sulphur, Oklahoma facility, but now we also have a campus in Sedona, Arizona, where we do the same treatment modalities. But because of this explosion of diabetes that is sweeping across this country, it became clear that if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to make a dent in what's going on in this country medically, we needed to try to bring our treatment protocols more to the average person, someone who can have that in a book form and can see the exact methodologies and recommendations that we make to the people who come and spend several days with us. And so that was the impetus behind writing the book, The 30-Day Diabetes Miracle, which contains actually all of our treatment recommendations that we make to our individuals that come and spend a session with us.
All right. We're going to talk more about that with our guest today, Dr. Stuart Seal and Ian Blake Newman. We'll also talk to them about the title itself of the book, The 30-Day Diabetes Miracle. As I said in the first hour of the program, mentioning that we were going to be talking about this book today, while some books use different types of interesting headlines to attract people and don't often deliver. When we say 30-day diabetes miracle, they're not kidding. We'll tell you more why when we come back with information on the Wide World of Health.
This is the Wide World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods, Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Carrie Nosler.
Yes, indeed. Carrie Nosler here with you today on the Wide World of Health. This hour of the program, we're talking about the 30-day diabetes miracle with Dr. Stuart Seal and Ian Blake Newman. Dr. Seal, again, some folks are skeptical of claims like 30 days or 15 days to do this or lose 5 pounds of fat in 20 minutes of non-strenuous exercise, whatever it happens to be. And you're aware of all those kind of things. But
sure,
in this particular case, you actually have the documentation and all the thousands of people who have been through the center to support the fact that changes take place rapidly when people undergo the kinds of the kinds of lifestyle alterations that you have at the Lifestyle Center of America. Tell us about, again, what those lifestyle changes are that you try to induce and why it happens so quickly.
Yes, well, I actually want people to be skeptical, and you know, because if they're skeptical, then maybe they'll give it a try, what we're recommending. And it's quite simply that the changes that we recommend are very simple for people to do. They're primarily in the areas of nutrition and also physical activity. And when people start doing the correct things in those areas of nutrition and then a mild to moderate amount of physical activity, the things that we see clinically at the Lifestyle Center of America and that I see every day when I take care of people with diabetes is that there is a very rapid healing that the body has, a very rapid restoration process. In fact, the biggest problem that I have is that if I don't start really monitoring the medications, including insulin, that my patients are using, I'll start having problems with low blood sugar very, very quickly into the program if I don't make some pretty dramatic changes early on. So this is a program that actually is so powerful that when people begin our recommendations in the book, they really need to work in conjunction with their physician, because our concern is that when we add the power of lifestyle change, lifestyle intervention, on top of the medications that they may already be taking, their risk is primarily going to be being overly medicated. So they really need to work with their physician as they begin doing this program. It's that powerful.
How do you feel as a physician with the fact that it's obvious that medications are necessary? Obviously many prescription products have changed the lives dramatically of patients, but this is the medication in this particular case, when you're talking about a lifestyle issue, it's a symptom removal, but it's not getting down to the core of the lifestyle issues that you're talking about. But it is still the number one way that most physicians would treat people who come in with the kind of symptoms that you're working with.
It's a real problem in this country, in that primarily our medical training is focused on training physicians to be interventionists. And I was trained the same way. I was trained to take care of acute problems, to intervene with those problems in a very effective way. And so I've been part of that system in the past, and I still do use medications when medications are indicated. But with a chronic disease such as diabetes, if you treat that in an acute manner, and for example, the acute symptom of diabetes may be an elevated blood sugar. So if we just use a medication to try to treat that number, all we're doing is we're just putting a Band-Aid on the symptom, and we're not addressing the underlying cause of the disease. When you address the underlying cause of the disease, such as we do in the 30-Day Diabetes Miracle, well, then you have to make adjustments in those acute
acute interventions, those medications that you've been using, because if you don't, you're likely to get into difficulty. You're exactly right. There's nothing wrong with medications, but they have to be used appropriately, and they have to be laid upon a foundation of lifestyle behavioral intervention. If they're not being used in that manner, they're being used incorrectly, and they do nothing to stop this relentless progression of complications that can happen from diabetes. I've seen this happen time and time again in my career where people are treated for their symptoms, that being high blood sugar, and they still end up getting the complications of the disease because the underlying cause of the disease is not being addressed. And that cause are the behavior choices that they're making each and every day of their lives.
Now, Ian, you experienced this firsthand. You're a journalist now writing about it, but you came there with type 1 diabetes. You obviously needed a readjustment in terms of your own lifestyle approaches. So how did you feel about what you were doing? How did it work for you in terms of being a participant and being asked to make these changes?
Well, when I started off, I was extremely skeptical, as some of your listeners probably are. I thought, Oklahoma, what can them Okies possibly teach me about diabetes? What they really taught me was that I was in a groove. We're all in a groove in this country about the way we think about physical activity and nutrition and attitude. And actually, the difference between a groove and a grave is only a matter of depth. And I needed to get knocked out of my way of thinking. So I was very helpless and I was very hopeless. I'd essentially been told by my doctor back at home, look, because you have this disease, you will get all the terrible consequences. So the things that happen to people with diabetes that's uncontrolled, like blindness and gangrene and amputations and kidney failure and dialysis, it seemed to me from the impression I got from my doctor, I would get all those things just by the fact that I had the diagnosis. I was never told that I could reverse those symptoms, I could prevent them from ever happening in the first place. And I didn't learn that until I got to Lifestyle Center of America, and I learned that very quickly. I learned that on the first day I started the program that we outlined in the 30-Day Diabetes Miracle book, my insulin levels dropped by one-third. So the amount that I was injecting was dropped by one-third, and after about 3 weeks, it was dropped by half. And now I'm at a third of the original level that my first doctor had put me on. And that's very consequential. That's very meaningful because too much insulin in the system is as bad or worse for you than too much sugar in the blood. And we're not often taught that. We're often taught as people with diabetes that we can essentially cover whatever we eat with enough insulin. And so I can eat a dozen donuts, take enough of a hit of insulin to bring my blood sugar down and say, look, doc, I'm healthy. My blood sugar is 85. Never mentioning that insulin's a growth hormone, and so too much of it in the system is causing excess growth, including abnormal growth like cancer. It's hurting your heart. It's hurting your arteries. It's causing some major complications, and that's not the way to go. So medicine
in fact,
I
just want to mention just quickly that the Joslin Center, I think it's the Joslin Center for Medical Research, they just published a paper saying that the things that you were mentioning about insulin, obviously a certain amount of it is necessary, but they show that insulin can also accelerate the whole aging process.
That's right. It's also associated with Alzheimer's disease and a number of other major complications. Unfortunately, and we're not bashing Joslin, they've done some great research and some great patient education, but we talk to people all the time who have gone through that program, and they go to typical nutritionists at Joslin. They're typical kind of American diabetes-trained nutritionists, and they're given that message that, you know, basically eat what you want, try to cut down on certain things, and just cover yourself with enough insulin. And people don't realize how damaging that can be. We meet people on the road all the time. We're on tour supporting the book, and we meet people all the time taking 150 or 200 units of insulin a day. And anything more essentially than 30 units a day is very unhelpful for us. So this program is self-motivating because you eat well, you're full, you are feeling better, you're gaining more energy, you don't feel like a victim anymore, so you feel empowered. All of the kind of feelings that you had about how you got yourself into the mess you're in go away, and you start feeling like you're driving this bus now. And that's a great feeling, and it becomes much easier to make good decisions in the future because you've woken up and your blood sugar numbers are good, you feel better, and your insulin levels are down, and you just keep doing it. That's the miracle of it.
And again, when you say 30 days, you're not exaggerating.
Well, no. I think it's critical for people to understand that they don't do this program for 30 days and then stop and go to Ben and Jerry's. at the end of 30 days, we're just asking people to loan us their trust for those amount of days, because that's the maximum, the absolute maximum amount of time it will take people to realize how well this works. It's very likely that within just a few days, they're going to recognize major, extremely meaningful benefits. But after 30 days, the kind of self-motivation kicks in and the traction will be gained. And this program is one you do for life. And incidentally, that word miracle, that's not a word that the doctors at Lifestyle Center of America chose. It's not a word that I chose as a journalist. In fact, it's a word that we pretty strenuously objected to when our publisher suggested it. But our publisher in Penguin had been in contact with some of the patients who had gone through the program. It was the most frequently used word in all of the correspondence between doctor and patient. And, you know, now that we've seen this word, and now that people are communicating with us directly all across the country, we're pretty supportive of that word. It feels miraculous that you can get yourself out of the typical system that we're in right now, feel better about yourself, feel more energy, feel fuller, lose weight, get your blood sugar down, and feel like you've got all your hope restored. I mean, that is pretty miraculous.
All right, we're coming back with more on the Wide World of Health. We'll talk about the diet program at the Lifestyle Center of America and also the importance of exercise, as they outline in the book, and show you, again, ways to incorporate both of those in ways that, won't break the bank, so to speak. You're going to find it not that difficult to do, and especially with exercise, you'll be amazed at the results that can come and how well you can feel about what you're doing, even if you don't like exercise. Kerry Nosler here on the Wide World of Health. Kerry Nosler here with you. We're talking about the Lifestyle Center of America program, the complete program that can help people who have diabetes to help them reverse many of the symptoms of the disease or eliminate some of the consequences of unexamined life when it comes to the lifestyle contribution, unfortunately, to the problem of diabetes. Dr. Seale, the dietary part of your program is based on what's called a plant-based diet, excluding as much as possible, and I guess in some ways all animal products at all. Give us the rationale as to why that's the particular type of diet program that's employed in your program.
Well, Kerry, the standard American diet, which is largely to blame for this obesity and then now type 2 diabetes epidemic that we've been seeing in this country, is quite simply, it's high in calories, it's high in saturated fats, which come primarily from animal products in the diet, it's high in salt, it's high in sugars, and it's also high in refined carbohydrates and very low in fiber. Well, what we do is we substitute that diet with, as you referred to, a plant-based diet. And this is a diet that medical research has borne out time and again is clearly the superior diet for treating and reversing chronic disease such as diabetes. Quite simply, a plant-based diet is based on plant foods. And the ideal is if you can go completely to a plant-based diet with the exclusion of all animal products, and that includes not only meats, but also eggs and dairy and what some people don't always consider to be meat, things such as fish. When you exclude those, you have a diet then that is abundant in naturally good substances for the body, the primary thing being fiber. Fiber is fantastic for those who have diabetes. It gives you a sense of satisfaction. So Ian has mentioned earlier that you don't feel hungry when you eat this kind of a diet. It's because of the fiber that's in the diet. You also have much better blood sugar control when you eat this kind of diet, because the fiber will slow down the absorption of the sugars from the other carbohydrates that are in the diet. And it may come as a surprise to your listeners that have diabetes. 65% of the diet that we recommend in the 30-day diabetes miracle is comprised of carbohydrates. And that's really quite high for most people that have had diabetic education that tells them that carbs are bad. Well, carbs are bad if you eat the wrong kind of carbs, but if you eat the right kind of carbs, those that come from a plant-based diet, your blood sugar will thank you enormously for having done that.
In fact, when you determine how many carbs a person should eat a day, you have a little formula where you take the carbohydrate, the grams of carbohydrate, minus the fiber. That gives you an indication of just I suspect, the ones you should be eating, but also tells you how much of the carbohydrates you can have in the first place.
That's exactly right. And, you know, fiber is everybody's friend, but especially for those that have diabetes, fiber is the best friend that you can have for the rest of your life, especially if you like to eat food. Fiber is a friend you want to make, because fiber will allow you to eat large volumes of food and feel very full and very satisfied. And yet, since fiber is not absorbed from the intestinal tract, the beauty of it is it doesn't count towards your total carbohydrate intake of the day. And so, in fact, it helps to balance the carbohydrate intake that you do have, so your blood sugars don't go excessively high. And here's a tip for your listeners. Of the foods that are out there that are plant-based foods, that are superfoods in many, many different ways, but especially in the area of fiber, beans are number one. So if you don't like beans, learn how to like them, because beans are a superfood for everybody, but especially for someone who has diabetes. We recommend beans virtually at every meal, certainly every day, but if you can eat a half a cup of beans at the beginning of every meal, you will start seeing some differences in your blood sugars just by doing that simple step alone.
Now, I don't mean to be glib here, but I do know that when people start to make a change to a high-fiber diet, the digestive system doesn't always make the change as easily as one can eat different foods. So there can be some digestive distress. What do you do, or how do you help those folks who may find it a little difficult in that transitional time?
There can be an adaptation, certainly, to going from a typical standard American diet that has about 10 or 12 grams of fiber a day to a plant-based diet that has about 40 or 50 or more grams per day. And you're right, there can be a transitional period of time. The recommendation, the best recommendation that I would make would be to, number one, chew your food very, very thoroughly, because the digestive process actually begins in the mouth. And if you chew that food very thoroughly, you're not putting large chunks of food that are only going to be partially digested into the intestinal tract. And then as it gets down into the colon, it starts allowing the intestinal bacteria to start working on that undigested food. And then that's when you start developing some of the distress that you're referring to, especially excessive gas. So chewing the food very, very thoroughly at the beginning of the meal is the first thing to do. And that's probably point number one that I would want to make to everybody.
All right. Ian, were you going to mention something in that regard?
Well, I was going to say, you know, we do hear that occasionally from people that's one of the reasons why they don't want to make a major change to their diet. So they're worried about some minor intestinal distress that's temporary. Your body does adjust to it. You know, we'd ask those people, how much worse is blindness or amputation or gangrene or kidney failure or an early death or not being there to see your grandkids graduate from high school? I mean, it really is a pretty easy choice to make. It certainly was for me. There are some other things that we have in terms of advice for reducing gas from beans, which listeners can get on our website, which is www.diabetesmiracle.org. We also have a cookbook coming out in May, the 30-Day Diabetes Miracle Cookbook, and we devote a whole chapter to specific ways of soaking, cooking, prepping, and buying and eating beans and also reduce it. But the short answer is, and our co-author Dr. House will tell crowds of hundreds or thousands of people this when they ask, because inevitably someone asks, he says, get used to it.
Probably helps that everybody in that initial program is all together at that point. You talk about exercise, and it's obvious that exercise, that your program, as successful as the diet part is, would not be able to achieve the results that you have without exercise. And you talk about things like weight training, which we know about, and you also talk about IT, interval training. And I know about interval training, but the particular way that you go about doing it was really pretty nifty. I'd like you to explain that, how people can do actually a varied program and not really exercise that intensely and get better benefits from someone who's just, let's say, exercising at the same level over the same period of time.
With intermittent training, what an individual does quite simply is they determine what their target
heart rate should be during physical activity. And we do describe in the book a very simple method by which everybody can determine what that initial target heart rate should be. There's more complex methods, and we do have those posted on our website, which Ian has said is diabetesmiracle.org. But a very simple method is outlined in the book. And once you get the target heart rate for yourself, then literally what you do is you have a heart rate zone that is plus or minus 5 beats above and below your target heart rate. And we do recommend that people do this with the use of a heart rate monitor. It's much, much more accurate, and you'll get more benefit from your physical activity if you do use a heart rate monitor, at least in the early stages. Then quite simply, what you do is you begin your method of exercise. Let's say that's walking. You begin walking to where your heart rate is 5 beats above what your target heart rate was calculated as being. And as soon as you get to that 5 beats above your target heart rate, then you immediately slow down your intensity of physical activity until your heart rate slows down to 5 beats below your target heart rate. When it gets down to that zone, then you immediately increase the physical activity to a mild degree, and you get your heart rate back up again to the upper end of the zone. So you're always fluctuating in a 10 heartbeat range, so to speak, around your target heart rate. And in essence, what you're doing is for every little bit of active work that you're doing with your physical activity, you're getting usually an equal amount of active rest. And so your physical activity seems very easy to do. It's not a no pain, no gain method whatsoever. In fact, if you're feeling pain while you're doing this method, then you're doing something wrong. And studies will actually show that you get more benefit in terms of cardiovascular endurance, and you get more benefit in terms of weight loss than if you go out there and really hit it hard and suffer from your physical activity. This is a method that everybody can do no matter what their current level of physical conditioning is at this point in time.
And not only that, you
can do
three
times the amount.
I was just going to say, 5 beats above. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ian. Excuse me.
Well, you could do three times the amount of exercise when you do exercise this way. Our research shows that, and other science backs that up. And it's even simpler. Dr. Seale's describing the technical way of doing this, which is the optimal way, but it's even simpler than that in translation. Essentially, what you're doing is just working a bit and resting a bit, working a bit and resting a bit. So you can start this, you know, today on your walk, where you walk between one telephone pole and the next telephone pole with some briskness, and then between the next two, you slow down a bit. Don't stop, just slow down.
And again, the benefits are even more than if you had stayed at the higher level the whole time. So that's a neat thing to do. More great information coming up on the next segment of the program. And again, we'll make sure that you know just exactly how to go about getting a hold of folks at the Lifestyle Center of America if you're interested, and give you other contact information. I'm Kerry Nosler, Wide World of Health, Talk 650 KSTE. One more segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Wide World of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods, Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Kerry Nosler.
Kerry Nosler here. Guests today, Dr. Stuart Seale and Ian Blake Newman. Also, Dr. Franklin House is another author and contributed to the 30-Day Diabetes Miracle book. And just to put it in perspective, before we kind of give people information on how to go about getting involved in the program, but I do want to say that when we say lifestyle, you folks address all those particular issues. You address diet, you address exercise, matters of thinking and how people faith, so that you look at all the parameters that could possibly contribute to a person's, well, that do contribute to a person's state of being in terms of helping him or her.
Yes, actually, Kerry, we have what I like to refer to as being a three-legged stool that makes up our recommendations. And we've already talked about two of those, and that's plant-based diet number one, and then physical activity, exercise being medicine, as number two. And then the third leg of that stool incorporates behavioral change, because after all, you know, we're talking about a disease of behavior here, and so it does no good to just tell somebody that they need to eat better and they need to exercise a little bit more. I mean, people are told that thousands of times every day from physicians across the country, and yet it doesn't stick. And the reason it doesn't stick is because they're not giving them the behavioral tools to have the individual really make the behavior modification that they need to make. So the third leg of our stool is behavior change. And quite simply, what we do is we try to readjust the attitude that that people have towards their not only their diabetes, but also how they view physical activity, how they view the nutrition, what their expectations are for themselves in terms of how they react to emotional cravings and other things that drive their behavior. And we also help them to understand why their current behaviors are the way that they are. And when they have that degree of understanding, then they can start changing those behaviors more effectively.
So, Ian, you are kind of a tour, in a sense, promoting Lifestyle Center of America. How many are there? How many places are there where people can participate in this program at this time?
Well, we've been all over the country. We started in L.A. about 7 weeks ago, and we're in New York at the moment, starting to wind down this kind of go-for-broke tour, where we're just talking to as many people as we can and as many venues as possible. We've been to universities, to hospitals, to, you know, hotel ballrooms, to medical schools, you name it, everywhere we can get our hands on people, we're talking to them, and we're promoting the book. We're doing a lot of altruistic stuff, just essentially giving away books at various sites. We are giving free testing to a lot of people, and that's been kind of a mixed blessing, because it's pretty alarming when we meet people randomly on the street and test them. Many, many people out there have diabetes and don't know that they have diabetes. Many people would be diagnosed by the American Diabetes Association as something that they call pre-diabetic, which is kind of like being a little bit pregnant. At the point where you're diagnosed with pre-diabetes, you already have a process going on in your body that's very bad for you. And again, we honor and we respect the American Diabetes Association for a lot of what they've done, but they proclaim pretty boldly in their mission statement that they want to reverse and cure diabetes. And we just ask you to look around and ask yourself the question, how well is it working? We need a scientifically based plan that's different than their plan, because their plan clearly isn't working. Diabetes is getting much worse, not better. So we're going to as many places as possible to spread that message, again, that not one more person needs to get diabetes.
If people want to do something, though, if they want to go to a Lifestyle Center of America, how many centers are there in the country where one could participate in your program?
There are currently two centers, one in Sulphur, Oklahoma, between Dallas and Oklahoma City, and one in beautiful Sedona, Arizona, outside of Phoenix. And those are residential programs. They're kind of like diabetes boot camps. For people who want a residential program, who really need kind of rehab, for lack of a better word, I know I needed that, they can go to either of those places, and they can find out about them at www.diabetesmiracle.org. We're recently about to start opening up some clinics, and outpatient clinics in other locations, because people really can do this at home. What we outline in the 30-Day Diabetes Miracle book is essentially the program, although for some people, they really do need that residential setting. So those two choices are out there for people.
But again, you'll also have other types of little treatment centers, or I should not say centers, whatever you call it, but different areas where they could also get information and guidance.
Well, everywhere we've been going, people have been asking us. We met with the health czar in Philadelphia, and she said, we really need a clinic here. We met with a very well-to-do and very philanthropic business person from New York who's asked to be anonymous for now, who said, we really need this in New York. Can we do this here? The same thing happened in D.C. The same thing's happened in Oklahoma City and Phoenix, where we've worked with the cities. So there are a lot of places. This is the vanguard of a very large movement. People essentially intuitively recognize that somebody's not minding the store very well. We have some major chronic health problems. It's going to essentially destroy our way of life unless we do something different. And we're kind of blessed and honored to be part of the beginning of that movement.
And Dr. Seale, have you been able to enlist other doctors who want to be part of this as well, who just are tired of practicing the standard way and want to get on with something that really helps change the course of a person's disease?
There is a growing interest in the medical community for this type of intensive lifestyle intervention of the treatment of chronic disease. And what's interesting is that as a physician,
begins learning and begins seeing what the research shows can do with lifestyle intervention of chronic disease, it usually starts planting a seed of frustration, so to speak, in their current professional practice as far as how they're treating their patients. And so, yes, we are starting to see a growing interest among other physicians. We also are partnering with Loma Linda University, who has a preventive health residency, and I'm certain that many of their residents are also going to be interested in treating patients in this manner.
And obviously the bottom line, too, would be not only to treat people, but to have them get on this program so that they don't get the problem, they don't develop that problem in the first place, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not only the best reversal for chronic disease, but it's absolutely the best prevention for chronic disease. I've been following this lifestyle myself for over a decade, and I don't do that because I have chronic disease that I'm treating. I do it because it makes me feel 20 years younger, and it's the best prevention that I have for developing these debilitating diseases that not only shorten your life, but even worse than that, they make your life so debilitated that it's really, frankly, no fun to live when you have these kinds of diseases. So it's the best prevention as well as the best treatment.
Well, Dr. Seale, I want to thank you very much. And Ian Blake Newman, thank you for being on the program today, and also your work on behalf of the Lifestyle Center of America. The book, again, The 30-Day Diabetes Miracle. And, folks, you mentioned again the website was diabetesmiracle.org. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for participating today. I really appreciate it. Try the website, diabetesmiracle.org. Get more information. Of course, get the book and spread the word. Carrie Nosler here, thanking you so much for joining us today on The Wide World of Health. Appreciate the fact that we were able to get together. Have yourself a great week. Don't forget, next week, 12 to 2, we'll do it again with more great information for you. Have yourself a great week.